Let's turn in our Bibles to the 23rd Psalm. 23rd Psalm. I realize we kind of left off in an odd place. What kind of crazy pastor stops in the middle of the 23rd Psalm? We weren't going to make it. I trust no golden calves or anything were built last week while I was gone. Anything? Just one. As long as it's gone before I come back. And actually last week tried to, through the middle of a blizzard, we marathoned up to Boulder, Colorado, hoping to go to church at Richie Furry's church Wednesday night, only to get there and find out they canceled church. So I kind of gave him the business for being the wimps because we don't cancel church for a But I had a nice time being in Boulder for a little while, and that's one place I don't want to live. I tell you, you talk about hard plowing, that is pagan central. Man. Okay, but we left off in the middle of the 23rd Psalm, and what we're going to do is we're going to read the entire Psalm again, so we might get into a context here, and then we'll pick it up on the verse we left off. Beginning verse 1 of 23rd Psalm, and he begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As we've been going through the book of Psalms, we have seen a lot of different emotions, a lot of different experiences and situations that David and the other writers of the book of Psalms were going through at that time. And if you recall a couple weeks ago when we were in the 22nd Psalm, we saw a great deal of prophecy concerning the coming of the Messiah clear back in the book of Psalms. And really, if we could call the 22nd Psalm the battle, then definitely the 23rd Psalm is the song of victory. And when we read this, we have to realize that though it is one of the most famous psalms, maybe many of us can quote it from heart, we know it from our childhood if you were raised in the church, but oftentimes familiarity doesn't do us any good, because in that familiarity, we kind of just blow right by it without really comprehending and taking upon us what it really means and the magnitude of what is written here. So in the 23rd Psalm, we discuss the fact that throughout the Old Testament and the New, God refers to us as sheep. And we mentioned 2 weeks ago when we were on this passage, the idea that really, in the fact that he called us sheep and not some other form, some other animal, he was right on the nose, because sheep really have the nature of us in a spiritual realm. Now, we cut through part of the 23rd Psalm, and I believe we left off with, "He restoreth my soul." So we're going to pick it up right there. As we look at this picture again, now we will see a comparison that as the writer David here speaks of sheep in the literal sense of sheep, we will see that comparison. But bear in mind again that when he's speaking about sheep, he's speaking about us. And I would really entreat us all here tonight to take a look at this and put it on a practical basis to our life. "He restoreth my soul" is where we left off. Now, there's an interesting thing that I've been told with sheep, and I have not worked around sheep a whole lot. I see them from afar, and that's usually close enough for me. But the issue of sheep, they do something that I have heard, and what it's called is that they, when a sheep is cast, or basically that is a way of saying the sheep, what they do is they will lay down oftentimes, they can roll around in the dirt, whatever, and oftentimes they can kind of get turned over on their back and can't get back up again. Now that's really got to be embarrassing in the sheep world, I'm sure. You know, you just know they're out there, the other sheep are laughing at you, you know, because you're on your back, you can't get back up. But these sheep will turn over and they can't get back up, and it actually is a quite serious thing, because if the sheep doesn't get turned back right side up very soon, if the buzzards don't get you first, or a wolf doesn't get you, then pretty soon that you can actually die, because it causes some problems in your lungs, and blood starts running wrong ways, and you'll die. and the sheep will get cast, they fall over. Now, I've been told that even the largest and the strongest of sheep can get cast. And we too, again, if we were to apply this on a spiritual basis to our lives, we also can become cast at times in our lives. And oftentimes, like a sheep, it can happen even when we're large and when we're strong. Because it seems that even the most spiritually, quote-unquote, full and satisfied believer can become cast if he's not watching what he's doing. Now, a sheep that gets cast is not really just lounging around. He's being lazy, just kind of just relaxing, and gets twisted just in the wrong position and can't get back up again. That's very, very applicable to our spiritual life and how we get cast. Now, as I mentioned before, if a shepherd does not see a sheep quickly, that he's in danger. And a shepherd also knows that a sheep has been cast because he can start to see the buzzards fly around. Now, I don't know if you guys, if you grew up in the country, I grew up, and also I grew up spending a lot of time down in the Ozarks, and I certainly know what a buzzard is, and I know what buzzard circling means. It means something's dead or pretty near there, okay? So we used to always go running, try to figure out what was dying over there, you know. Well, they're right over us, you know. You know, like a bunch of kids. But they would know that the birds of prey would be circling, waiting to finish off a helpless sheep. That's the way it is. As soon as one of us get cast, the buzzards begin to circle, don't they? Get ready to finish you off. We've often talked about the fact that the importance of fellowship, the importance of a church, is not some legalistic trip. The believers coming into a church is communing as a family, because who is it? What animal always gets eaten by the wolves or the lion, whatever? The one who ventures away from the pack. The young one. Okay? Or the one who gets away from the pack, so they stay in a tight circle. And that's very much what we're doing, is we stay close together and we protect each other. And the buzzard is waiting to get that one that's been cast. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever heard the analogy of spiritual lifeguard. Now, a lifeguard, I have been told that when a person's drowning, that a lifeguard, if he gets out to that drowning person too quickly, oftentimes that person struggling and slashing around out there can endanger not only his own life, but the life of the lifeguard and just the whole success of the saving of that person. That sometimes it is better for that lifeguard to wait until that person has kind of run out of steam, so to speak, before we get out there and get that person. And that's very much the way it is oftentimes with us. Because sometimes, if you ever feel like, where is God? You know, I'm cast down here. I'm dying. You know, I can see the buzzards surrounding me. Help, help, help. You know, where's the shepherd? Maybe the shepherd's just waiting for you to run out of steam. Because it seems like oftentimes we get up too quick. It's like, I'm okay. I'm all right. It's okay. Deny the whole thing ever happened. You know, I wasn't cast. I wasn't down. Don't wait till you're down and you're really hurting. And he comes and redeems you. Comes and turns you back over again and picks you up. And there's no denying that you were cast and that you needed a Savior. It's a good thing about our Savior is he not only saves our soul at the moment of redemption, but I don't know about you guys, but God saved me many times after that day too. Not salvation-wise, but saved my hide. Times when I was down and he could have just left me. Said, you got yourself there. Get yourself up. But he didn't. He's always the perfect shepherd, always there to turn me back over. Now, what causes being cast? Well, one thing they tell us is a problem with the wool. Now, we first need to look in the Scripture and realize that wool in Scripture represents the old self-life, the assertion of my own inner desires, the accumulation of worldly possessions, worldly ideas. So when the wool becomes too long or too matted, they can weight us down. They can cast us down. Isn't that interesting? That literally too much stuff can get us turned over in a helpless position. Another reason that can happen to get us cast is simply fat sheep. Now we say, you know, we kind of always talk around here about eating of the Word and getting fat on the Word, and that's good. But guys, too much food and not enough exercise just makes for fat sheep, and you go down, you get cast. That's why we need to be exercising. So what's the answer to these two problems of the danger of being cast? One, A, shear the sheep. And sometimes I think we need to do that. And mind you, that's not my place as your pastor. That's your place between you and God. I think all of us need to take a look at our lives and go, am I weighted down by too much of this world? Too much stuff, too much material things? You know, it seems like we get just enough stuff that it takes all of our time to take care of our stuff. One of the things I really love about living in the middle of the woods is I don't have a yard. So I don't have to mow. That's good. Just let her grow, Lord. You know, that's good. I like being not having that stuff. You know, I look at these great big huge lawns and think, wouldn't you have to like start mowing again right after you finished? You know, especially in the summer. I mean, I don't understand that. I don't want to have that much stuff, that many material things, that much things to occupy my time. And so many of us say, I don't have time for God. I don't have time to serve God. I don't have time to do this or that or another thing when it comes to the issue of our spiritual walk. But you know what? All that stuff's going to burn. You can't take any of it with you. It's all lost. It's all gone. It's as good as gone now, guys. The only thing that matters, as we've always said, is what you sent on ahead, what you've invested into heaven. The only thing that's going to matter is when you walk the streets of heaven, whether you're going to bump into people that you had a part in their salvation, and you're going to look at that person there and say, wow, man, you're here. You're here. Those of you that support missions, some of you support Gospel for Asia missionaries in India, or now you've picked up maybe a Sudanese chaplain and you're supporting them. And the idea is they're out there ministering and you're supporting that chaplain or that missionary, and there will actually be people in heaven that you will run into that are there because you financed that missionary and you kept him going. And I'm not here to give a sales pitch for GFA. But I'm always amazed at the fact that I can support an entire missionary in India every day for $30 a month. And I'm it. I'm his sole supporter. He doesn't know who I am either. He can't know because of the whole politics. I know who he is. I know his name and I know where he is. And I know each day that I wake up, he's going to bed. When I go to bed at night, I pray for him because he's just getting up. He's going to take over the next 12-hour shift. So see, we got it covered. 24 hours a day while ministering. Fat sheep, too much food, not enough exercise. So we shear the sheep and we exercise the sheep. Do you get the spiritual connection here? See, it's easy to come to church every week and just sit there and eat and eat and eat and eat. And I think that we can become, if we could look at ourselves sometimes through spiritual eyes, we're all really spiritually fat when we really need to be out exercising. We need to be out doing something with that which we have been fed. You get fed good stuff. The Word of God is taught here. You should be able to take that steak as it runs through you, boy, and just get out there and work for the Lord. Sometimes it takes a different diet, period. I think that a lot of pastors are guilty of feeding their flock a lot of cotton candy, a lot of sugar, Hershey bars, you know, malt, you know, everything that's good. All that sweet stuff. And it's very palatable. It builds huge churches. And people love those kind of churches because we go with cotton candy. And again, if we could look through spiritual eyes, all right, your head's be full of cavities and really fat, and it's really, you know, it's like, you know, you need to change your diet and eat some meat and exercise. And the connotation just runs straight through here. He restoreth my soul. It goes on. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The paths of righteousness. There is a danger when dealing with sheep that too many sheep on too small of a ground and the land becomes overworked and it begins to die and it begins to erode. What's the answer to this problem? Keep the sheep moving. Keep the sheep moving. Moving to new pastures. Sometimes you might start to think, man, you know, seems like this church is always doing something else and we're always doing something new and we're always, keep going, keep going. You know, why? Because this under-shepherd wants to keep the sheep moving. We've seen it. I don't know what kind of church you grew up in, but the church that I grew up in, we were stomping the same little plot of ground, and it was just eroded and wasted because we weren't moving on to new ground. We need to keep the sheep moving to new grounds, new challenges. Because these sheep are just like us. They will follow blindly and habitually the same paths. And they'll wear those paths right into ruts. And they'll wear those ruts right into washouts unless they are led elsewhere into new fields. They'll destroy the lands. Fresh Fields guys in a ministry and in a body of believers and as an individual Christian is always needed. And we need a shepherd to lead us into those fresh fields. We can't just ramble around and say, well, fresh field, you know, just take off in a direction. Because that's what sheep would do. Fall off a cliff somewhere. We actually need a shepherd to lead us to those new fresh fields. The stubborn and the self-willed, proud, self-sufficient sheep that persist in pursuing its old paths and grazing in the same fields is going to end up a dead. I've been to those churches. Dried up bag of bones because they persisted in eating out of the same fields and they wouldn't move out. It's like, yeah, but this field's so comfortable. We know this field. We like this field. Let's not move out. In the meantime, there's great grass that can be harvested right over the next hill. Two blocks down the road. And so you need to go down to those fields. The Lord has it for us. Mark 8:34 says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow me." A shepherd's willing to lead if we're willing to follow. So we see this in the church today, with many of us refusing to move out and spread the gospel. But we also see it in the world. And man, you don't have to look very far. I talk about this all the time. We see over and over again the same situation, lies all around us, broken homes, broken hearts, ruined lives, because they refuse to be led by a loving Savior, a loving shepherd. And I tell you, that stubbornness will be the death of us, spiritually, physically. We live in a very sick society, and we're all just out there in this world. The world is just dying on the same dried up piece of ground because they refuse to follow a shepherd who has their best interest in mind. It's amazing. And I realize before I go on here, many of us would say, well, good thing that's not me. I follow the shepherd. Really? Now, there's no way for me to know this, and there's no way for any of us to know this. This is one of those personal things with you and Jesus Christ. Only you know if you're truly listening and following the shepherd. You say, okay. Maybe sometimes I don't. But man, you know, I never know where he's going. You know, it's like, how do I know what's over the next hill? Now, see, that's why it's a little easier for me, because I'm just twisted enough to have to see what's over the next hill. I've been that kind of guy all my life. Okay, let's go see what's over the next hill. The only problem is I would see another hill after that one. Let's go see what's over that hill, you know. So I end up halfway around the world sometimes here. Most of us will deny it. We say on the surface, well, we're going along, we're following the shepherd, but our private lives really speak differently. And I tell you, you can look again, if I could see you through spiritual eyes, the condition of the sheep will tell it all. Will tell it all. See, people may say all kinds of crazy things about you as a Christian, or you as an individual believer. They may say all kinds of things about this crazy church you go to. But I tell you one thing. They can look at all of you through spiritual eyes, because you're healthy sheep. And I don't put that on me. I put that on Jesus. He keeps leading us to new pastures, and we keep going. Praise the Lord. When you stop going, would you let me know? Because I'm out of here. Because I want to keep going. I want to keep looking into new pastures and finding out new places that we can eat of the harvest. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He goes on, yea, though I walk through the valley. Now, I know none of you guys have any idea of valley. What could he be talking about here? Now, I realize that all of us, and it's kind of this thing within the Christian world, we're always seeking the higher ground with Jesus, aren't we? Oh, Lord, take me to higher ground. I think there's a song that goes along them lines, you know. But in order to get to higher ground, the sheep have to go through the valley. See, we kind of have this concept. We want to be airlifted to the higher ground. When a spiritual helicopter just pick us up, one fell swoop, and off we go to the top of the higher ground. Once again, that's what these great big mega churches, because they're giving you the idea that somehow they're going to just take you from that service that day to the higher ground. Well, I'm sorry, I don't find anywhere in the Bible talks about that. To seek the higher ground of Jesus Christ, it is a journey, guys. Why do you think he's keeping you breathing? I mean, It's a journey. It's a path. It's a walk. I walk through the valley, and it's one step at a time. See, oftentimes we think, well, I'm going to run through the valley because it's dark. You know, when it's dark and you run. You think the enemy can't get you when you run? But I want you to know something here. It doesn't say run through the valley. It doesn't even say stop in the valley. And it most definitely doesn't say die in the valley. It says walk in the valley. The Lord, if you look into this subject of walking, spiritually walking, you will find that the Bible is very clear that what God wants out of us is a steady and consistent and deliberate walk. You run, you fall down, don't you? And if you stop, people run over you from the back. You can't stop. I've given the analogy before. It's like you get out here on Interstate 94, you know, and you're cruising down the road at 85 or what are you people you drive. If you just stop, what's going to happen? Someone's going to run right over you, aren't they? You're going to cause accidents. It's going to be crash. You can't stop. You got to go the same steady speed if you were to get there and get there safely and successfully. That's the road of life. The truth is it is a journey, it is a road, it is a path. And it always, guys, begins in the valleys before you get to the mountaintops. And let me tell you, the valleys are definitely full of danger. But let us not forget that the shepherd has been there before. He knows the terrain, he knows the road. And he guards the sheep every step of the way. See, let me tell you something. If you're here and you're not a believer, you're going to go through them same valleys. Except I'm not going alone. I have got a really, really tough shepherd watching over me. He knows the road, and he's going to protect me at any cost. See, the same valleys, we're all going to go through them. That's the difference between an unbeliever and a believer. Same valleys, except I get God in flesh, God in spirit, to walk with me down that valley. And I'll take that road. Thank you very much. It's very dangerous in the valleys, but he tells us, lo, I will be with you all always. And where do we find the rivers, guys? Remember, we've talked about the rivers of life, the rivers of living water. We find them in the valleys, don't we? And if you've traveled in a valley, and I tell you, if you don't know what I'm talking about, oh, you will. Even as a Christian, when you go through those valley times, it's in the valleys you find the rivers of living water. And anybody who's walked that road, you know what I'm talking about. Something happens down there, don't it? Because it's in the valleys. It's like being out in the wilderness in those valleys. It's very quiet. You're away from all the hubbub. You're away from all the chaos. At that time, you usually only hear one thing, the voice of the shepherd. See, let's face it, guys, whether or not we like the trials and tribulations of life, something happens to us when we're in those situations. When we're in those situations, those are the times of make or break. Those are the times that you will either pull away from God and try to go your own way, or you will fall at His feet and say, Lord, I need your help. And that you need the shepherd. Those are the times you hear His voice very, very clearly. And the valleys are going to come for sure. We know they will. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Valleys. Now some of you guys I know, at a church this size, at any given time, many of us are going through those valleys. But anyone who's come out the other side also knows that the Lord is with them the whole time. And sometimes it seems very quiet. But He hasn't deserted you. If you haven't deserted Him, He's not deserted you. He'll be right there. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Let's go on. It says, thy rod and thy staff will comfort me. Now, what's this rod? The rod, spiritually speaking, in this context and throughout the Word, is speaking of the living Word, the Bible. For a shepherd, the rod is for the protection of the sheep and for the correction of the sheep. Works pretty much the same way for us, doesn't it? It's a weapon of power, authority, and defense. Now, if you know about Moses, he used that rod a great deal when he was dealing with Pharaoh, wasn't he? And he spent the previous 40 years as a shepherd. He knew the place of the rod. God had just given him a new application for that. So amid the confusion and the chaos of the world, oftentimes we are very much comforted by the fact and the presence of the rod of the Word. The shepherd also uses the rod to count and examine his sheep. He can stand back, use them for counting, use them for examine. He's able to take the rod and pull away the wool to get right down deep of that sheep. And isn't that what the Word does? The Word works the same way with us. It pulls back the outside of us and checks on that hidden condition. Psalms 139, 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, I don't know what you guys, I don't pray that too often. I mean, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." No. You don't want to look in there, God. It's black. I don't even want to look in there. But I wonder how much different our lives would be if we were willing to say, "Lord, would you search me, know my heart, try me." Oh, try me. "Know my thoughts." Ooh, not my thoughts, Lord. "And see if there be any wicked way in me." I don't think he'd be disappointed if he went looking. In me, anyway. But it's the Word of God that exposes those things. Oftentimes we see, and this is something for you believers that attend this church, when you see people out there, and oftentimes they call themselves Christians, but they're really living in the world, it's easy to go, "What's the matter with you, you know, you pagan, what's going on, you know," and start whooping up on them, when really maybe it comes down to the fact is they don't know the Word enough to expose that sin upon their heart. And they may look good on the surface, but down underneath all the wool, all the material possessions, all the things that weigh us down in this world, underneath there's problems. There's cancers, there's problems down deep, because they don't know the Word. They're not able to use it. That's why it is so important to know the Word. And let me tell you something. This is not your meal for the week. Okay? It's like, "Well, I'll eat again Sunday morning about 10:30. No. I mean, you don't do that with physical food, do you? It's like, "No, I'm going to eat after we're done here." And we eat all the time. We eat three times a day. I wonder how much different our lives would be if we would take spiritual eating with the same diligence. Now, the fact that this is not your meal. This is a chance to commune as a group, to be fed. But I tell you, you need to be eating all week long, you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Open up that plate, people. Eat of His Word. Know what the Word says, so you're able to use it. He also uses the rod as a defense. The rod is used to fight the enemy. And we know that too. Even Jesus Christ quoted Scripture to deal with Satan. Now I figure if it's good enough for God in flesh, it's good enough for me. Oftentimes we try to intellectualize, you know. We kind of try to intellectualize and duel, you know, with the pagan world. "Uh-uh, that's not right." You know, that goes a long way, doesn't it? But you will notice that there is something powerful about the Word of God. Again, there's something supernatural. And I don't know, I'm going to get all weirded out on you here, but something weird happens with it. Quoting the Word of God. I mean, again, not like a baseball bat upside somebody's head, you know. "You're going to burn in hell," you know, and this kind of stuff. "I'm going to heaven and you're not." No. I'm talking about actually using the Word of God as a defense, as a shield, as a rod to protect. He says, "Thy rod and thy staff will comfort me." What is a staff? Well, the staff in Scripture represents the Spirit. It is present for comfort and help. A staff had a hook in it and oftentimes was used to catch and guide the sheep. Isn't that great? The shepherd would carry the rod to protect for the correction of the sheep, and he carried the staff to catch and to guide the sheep. And that's just exactly what the Lord does with us. And that's what the Holy Spirit's there for. Going on, it says, "Thou preparest a table before me." Now the picture here is of a shepherd who prepares and cares and nurtures for the land that he's feeding the sheep on. that they can experience the joy and the bounty of the land that they're feeding off of. That means the shepherd goes before and he removes the poisonous plants, he takes care of the grass, he removes the dangers. That's what God does. The difference here is we get to choose. We can choose a life of scrounging, you know, for a nourishing life, or we can have a table set before us, the work completed by another's hands. And that's what Jesus has set before you. I set my table before you. He is willing to feed you. He has given you what you need. He tells us in His Word, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge of Him. If we know His Word, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. And as we've said many times, the word all in the Greek means all. Nothing too deep there. So for us, a table's been set, prepared by Christ, completed in His death. It goes on and says, Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, for sheep, apparently, I have been told that small pests can drive sheep nearly insane. And it won't take long, because you might think, well, a fly is just a little thing, small distraction. But over time, they tell me that a sheep will run wild and bang his head repeatedly on a post to try to keep that fly off of him. Now, I want you to think for a minute. Do we have spiritual flies in our lives? At first, it may seem like a small thing, and oftentimes it seems a small thing to the people around you. And people go to you, it's just a fly. It's just a little thing. Oh, but the devil knows how to dig, doesn't he? He knows that over time, you just keep picking away, until it starts to drive you insane. You know, and you're beating your spiritual head against the wall, you know. And they tell me that they'll actually kill themselves doing that. That's crazy. So a shepherd will oftentimes take a concoction of oil and maybe a few other ingredients, and he'll take that oil and he'll put it on the sheep's head to keep away the flies and the flying pests. Now we know that the oil in the Bible is also representative of the Holy Spirit, and that we need that anointing to deal with the flies in our lives. See, the devil has a lot of time, guys. Sometimes he'll have a full frontal attack. And you can see him coming about a half a mile away, and you can dig in, brace your feet, you know, get about 3 or 4 of you to plant, lean in, and you can, you know, defend it. But sometimes it's just a fly. Like mosquitoes or something, you know. It can drive you insane. The devil's willing to wait. He's got a lot of time. He just has one thing in mind, the ultimate goal, and that is his victory. And if it takes him a lifetime, your lifetime, to bring you down in the end, he wins. You can say, yes, but I won for 75 years. It doesn't matter if you lose in the end. I want to get there and I want to complete the task. I want to be like Paul says. I want to finish. I want to finish well. And I tell you, so few do. I watch people and they walk on the straight and narrow. They walk that path for so long. And sometimes a week, sometimes a year, sometimes 10 years, sometimes 20 years. And then it's like, you know, off they go. And they're veering off the cliff, you know, because they were batting a fly in their car. And that's what happens with us. Because sooner or later, we can let it get to us and drive us right off the road. And the devil's going, score. Gotcha. We need the Holy Spirit and we need Him daily. Also, they say that there is something called scab. Doesn't that sound like nice? I like spiritual scab. I guess the scab, what happens is the sheep spread it between them by rubbing heads with each other. And boy, you talk about a spiritual connection here. They would also put oil and sulfur and spices on the sheep's head because to keep them from spreading that, because we're just the same way. And it's with our heads, too. How many of us have gone out and started rubbing heads with someone in the world and come away with some weird spiritual disease? It's amazing. I've watched people, they can come to church and they can be here, you know, twice a week plus, and they can eat of this word and eat and eat and eat. Everything's just fine and dandy, and they can sit there and maybe they're taking some of it, maybe they're not. They go out to Perkins like one time with some crazy from some weird offshoot church, and they come back and it's like, yeah. Now, Jesus came back in 70 AD, you know, and we're all, you know, we're lost. This is the millennium reign, don't you know that? You're getting this stuff, man. Yeah, you know, the aliens, they're angels, man, and they're here as messengers from God, yeah. One time, and it's like, whose head have you been rubbing? Gab! Again, Holy Spirit, guys, because one thing about it is you can't call the shot ahead of time for that. You can't see that coming. You have to rely on the shepherd, the Holy Spirit, to protect you from that kind of thing of happening. And the interesting thing is when one person comes into a pack of sheep with that, it's amazing how quick that blight can spread. Another protection. And also, lastly, I've been told that shepherds pour oil on sheep's head because during rut... These sheep will run at each other full speed and bash heads. And literally, sometimes knock each other out. They can really hurt each other. And it's all vying for supremacy in the pack. Oh, we can't imagine how this could apply to us, can it? See, the sad thing about the Church of God is oftentimes we really butt heads. Why? Out of pride. I want to be bigger than you. I want to have a better position than you. I'm better than you are. So we just butt heads. And it's just a bunch of tough guy things. And ladies, you're no different. So don't think this is a big, you know, stud during rut kind of thing going on. Yeah, you guys, you know, I not us. Ladies are no different. And so they put oil on their heads so that when they hit each other, they just glean off each other. Wouldn't it be fun to watch? I mean, if you guys ever do that with sheep, I'd like to come and watch that. Full steam. Ping. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. And we need to pray for that, not only as individuals, but as a body of Christ, that the Holy Spirit is in rule in this body of Christ, that nobody is jockeying for position. You know who's head honcho here? Jesus Christ is head honcho here. He's the one and only shepherd. And you can butt heads all you want, but he's still a shepherd, and you're still a sheep. And all the butting heads in the world isn't going to turn you into a shepherd, because we're just sheep. He goes on and says, "My cup runneth over." It's been said that Jesus drank of the bitter cup that we might drink of the sweet. He was crucified on the cross, and he drank of that bitter cup that we might live life abundant as well as life eternal. And that cup, "My cup runneth over." It's that cup, if we are willing to allow God to fill us to such a degree, for the Holy Spirit to fill us to such a degree, that our cup is running over. It is the overflowing cup that spills out on the people around you. If you're not full, you will only have a very limited effect on anyone in your life that you touch. See, if something happens to you, get to the point, and it isn't something you have to muscle up energy, or, you know, it's like, I think I can, I'm a little engine that could, you know, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to witness, you know. It doesn't take that. I watch it happen. I watch a new believer come to the Lord, and I watch them, and they eat of the Word, and I can watch it in their eyes, and they take the Spirit, and they receive what God has, and they just, that cup fills and fills until one day it just overflows all over everybody they know. Because it's just that natural event in their lives. Is there one to say, man, Jesus is the best thing happening. And let me tell you about it. It overflows. But you have to be willing to let Him fill you to that degree. See, some of us, you're like, we get kind of a cup half full. Well, remember, cup half full is half empty. And we only want to take so much of God. We kind of want to walk halfway in the world and halfway with God. And say, I'll keep one foot in the world and one foot with the Lord. And let me tell you, there is no more miserable place. You'd be happier as a full-blown pagan. You really would. If you're straddling the middle, If you're born again, it's too late. There's no place to go. If you're not born again yet and you're trying to walk sort of a church life, you know, and I just want to remain in the world, really, Jesus said it, and so I'm going to say it too. Go back. Jesus said, "He'd rather have you be hot or cold, not lukewarm. He said, I'll spit you out of my mouth." And that's the words of Jesus. But all the way in, folks, is where all the blessings are. Go ahead and pull your foot out the door and let it lock behind you so that you can never, ever go back. I talk about burning bridges. But oftentimes we want to walk in both worlds, don't we? And when things get rough, you know, get into the valley, you know, we hightail it back to the world again. And if you do that, you've never really left the world. You're still there, and it's a miserable place to be. Miserable place to be. Because if you're one of God's sheep, the rod's going to get you. The word's going to get you. My cup runneth over. He goes on and says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. You know, with all the care that we've talked about of a loving shepherd, and we, after a while, and this is that gnosko, this is that knowledge through experience, we come to know and expect his goodness and mercy. Now, not demand. God's not a genie in a bottle. He's not a lucky rabbit's foot, and he's not there for your beckoning, no matter what some of these churches will tell you. It's like that I can just command God, you know, do this, God. You know, God, do this. God, do that. Whoa, wait a minute. You're the sheep. He's the shepherd. Since when do sheep tell the shepherd what to do? He's the one in charge. He's calling the shots. But it is all right to grow comfortable in the idea that he will take care of you. I trust the shepherd. Each day that I walk through this life, I trust him a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And you know what? I've come to the point in my life that the shepherd knows what he's doing. And most of all, I know he loves me. Sometimes he has to take the rod to me because he loves me. Sometimes he has to do things that may not be comfortable for me. Prods me on, moves me to new ground because he loves me. Question then, do you trust the shepherd? That's the question. But fighting against him will do no good. Now I have been told, I don't know how true this is, I have been told that for some sheep, especially when they're young, if they insist on wandering away from the shepherd and they insist on not following along and moving as a shepherd, he will literally go to them and break their leg. And he'll take them and then carry that lamb that he will bond with them again while that leg is healing. I don't know if it's true, but it certainly is a beautiful picture. Because I know there's times that God does just that. He loves you enough to be that extreme. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. A trust is built between the shepherd and the sheep. So that when the dangers and the trials come at us in this life, we can rest in peace that the good shepherd is with us, and that he loves us, and that he's in control. And that's why there's that word in there. Surely. Goodness and mercy. Surely. Because David writing this, he knows. If you know the life of David, if you were here as we were studying through the life of David, you know if there's one guy who knows that surely goodness and mercy will come from God Almighty through that great shepherd, it was David. And also when it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, the fruit of that care by a great shepherd in our lives too, it's going to begin to leave a legacy of goodness and mercy with everyone we've come in contact with. What do you want to leave? What kind of trail do you want to leave in this life? I want to leave one that they remember me as one who left goodness and mercy. And I take no credit. I have a good shepherd. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In light of this chapter, and coming to the realization that shepherds, and particularly our shepherd, loves greatly. And he takes care of me. And if I'm willing to accept that, and if I choose to then remain within the flock, in the fold, in that caring control of the shepherd, That's the place of blessing. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Inside that place, guys, there's peace and there's contentment and there's no more desire to wander. But sheep that wander have never come to the point in their life where they can say, you know what, I trust the great shepherd. That he loves me, that he will bless me, that he'll blow my mind. He will too. You can't possibly, under your own power, ever outdo what the loving shepherd can do with you in your life. You have been created for a special place and purpose in this world. And in that special place, in that special purpose, under the loving guidance of that shepherd, you will find completeness and wholeness and more joy and happiness than anything in this world that they could ever offer you. The question is, do you really trust the shepherd? Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, they're born again. They're sheep. But they're wayward sheep. I tell you, they're always going against the shepherd. They go through the valleys and they bolt. He tries to anoint them with oil. It's, oh, I want that oil. They stay on the same plot of ground and they won't allow the Lord to feed them new pastures and take them into new areas of harvest. And we continue to fight against. If you were a shepherd, what would you do with a sheep like that? 30-30 and take care of that real quick. And then we'd have lamb for the rest of the next 2 months. Some mutton stew. And you know, I know he's a loving God, but I tell you, he loves you enough sometimes that if you insist on doing that, I believe that the shepherd sometimes will take you out. It's your choice. Life abundant? If you're a sheep, you still have life eternal. But I tell you, I don't know about you guys, but I got things to do. I want to leave a mark here. I can never repay him, but man, I'm going to have a good time trying. I really am. He's a good shepherd. It says, I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Where's the house of the Lord? This building? No. Wherever you go is the house of the Lord. Because see, we are, as I am fond of saying, we are little embassies. I'm sovereign soil of God. That's why a Christian can never be demon-possessed. God doesn't timeshare, okay? This isn't a condo, okay? If God has possessed me, do you think he's going to share with Satan? Okay, yeah, well, you can have the right arm. I'll stay over here on the left. I mean, it's ridiculous. We laugh about it, but it's that ridiculous. And it's an idea these days. It's traveling to church. It's baloney. God is God. Satan is a creation. God isn't going to share me with anybody. And that's like saying that Satan can muscle God out, you know, a little elbow and push him. Oh, no. When God possesses me, I am an embassy of the kingdom of God. And wherever I walk, I'm a little embassy, sovereign soil of God. Isn't that great? Wherever I walk, we're the house of God. That's why you never have to go too far to look for it. Praise the Lord. And how often we do. How often we veer away from God. We push him away from our lives. We break communion with him. He still knows where you are, by the way. But we break communion with him. And then we get in trouble. And we try to, you know, search out the bat phone. You know, where's the hotline to God? God, hello, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? He resides inside of us. That's where he needs to be. That's where he longs to be. That's that issue of the Holy Spirit. Walks inside of each one of us. So we better leave it there tonight. I was going to go ahead, but I won't. Chapter 23, the book of Psalms. There is a book I pulled. Some of you probably read it and know that I ripped it off blind. If you haven't read the book called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, it's a little book. I slam dunked it in two nights. and there's probably a copy in the bookstore. If not, we'll get you one. Excellent, excellent, excellent book. If you are seeking to be in ministry and oversee people, I highly encourage you to read Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. And it was written by a shepherd, so he knows. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll see if anyone has anything to add to this.